Go to TMA Electric in Port Huron for all your electrical needs. From service upgrades to LED lighting to a full system check and oil change for your generator, along with preventative maintenance. Call 810-266-1450 or stop by. They're at 2514 Chestnut in Port Huron.
All right, 7:40 on this Thursday morning. We say good morning now to the Sheriff of St. Clair County, Matt King. Sheriff King, good morning.
Good morning, Paul.
It's been a tough few days here in our community, hasn't it?
Absolutely, it has. It's been a very tragic 24 hours between, obviously, the horrible news of the passing of a beloved teacher at Northern High School and, of course, the horrible mass shooting in Maine. Just a lot of bad news for everyone, and it's one of those days you got to wake up and count your blessings and take stock of what's going on around you and be grateful and yep. Hug your loved ones and support each other.
We have talked so many times about safety on the road and the old mantra, don't drink and drive, don't drink and drive. And here we are, a drunk driver doing something foolish, claims the life of a very popular, well-loved teacher from Port Huron Northern. It just doesn't make any sense.
Yeah, it's beyond frustrating. You know, we talk a lot more, and this generation is a lot better. I say this generation's the new 21 to 25-year-olds. They're better about making sure they have a driver and they don't drink and drive. And we're always repeating it. Make a plan. Don't drink and drive. Tell people where you're going and get a ride. Get a hotel room. And this one is it's extra painful because of the impact that the individual who unfortunately passed had on our community. But it's also frustrating because this individual who was senseless driving, not that it makes it any better, but he just consumed a massive amount of alcohol and was going to drive through the night and go up north, and it just makes absolutely no sense. None of it ever does, but this was basically a ticking time bomb waiting to where it was going to go off, and unfortunately it did go off, and somebody else was not only hurt but killed.
He was arrested, and what happens now in the system? What is he facing as far as charges and possible penalty?
Yeah, so he was arrested initially. It was drinking and driving, or OWI, causing a injury accident. Obviously, with the unfortunate passing of the victim, we amended the charges with the prosecuting office, working hand in hand with them. They're doing a great job, and we've amended the charges to OWI causing death. So his bond was changed by the magistrate, and he is ordered to stay in the state until the next court hearing, as he does live out of state, and he'll will have his next court hearing and go through the process. And unfortunately, there's a long road ahead for the family.
Yeah. What's the maximum penalty for this?
The maximum penalty is 15 years imprisonment. It'd be a state imprisonment. And again, there's so many guidelines with sentencing anymore. People sometimes don't understand, like, why did so-and-so only get this sentence? Literally, the judge has to bring out a book and do math with check this box, check that box. They're at this point, and then the judge always has his or her impact, and there's impact statements by the victim's family, and a whole study is to see where this individual will fall in the range of where he could be sent to prison.
Certainly had a major impact on our community, especially the family at Port Huron Northern, where they were off yesterday and still reeling from that loss. This happened in Lewiston, Maine, which seems a long way away from here, but a similar-sized community to Port Huron. It happened in a bowling alley, a mass shooting last night. They're still looking for the gunman. Where does your mind as a law enforcement officer go when you hear about something like this?
Well, first of all, I think of the response just being, I did 20 years on our special response team, and I just think about the response of the officers and deputies. Then I kind of look at it at a 360 view, being at the point I am in my career. We look at things and try to learn things from other incidents throughout the country. Just recently at a conference, the Michigan Sheriff Association conference, where some detectives from California came out to the conference. It was held in Lansing, and they broke down a mass shooting there, the things they did right and the fails. And I really couldn't help stop thinking about some of the fails were, and I don't want to point blame, but family members and people who knew the individual, like every sign was there that this individual was going to do something. I don't know that to be the case in the incident in Maine. I just think about the old adage, if it's predictable, it's preventable. And then, of course, I think about the family members and the people who were going out to try to enjoy themselves and do something totally innocent and fun, usually with loved ones and friends. And we're in a world right now that we have to think about, where's the exit? If something happens, which way do I run? Where do I go? What could I use to defend myself? So obviously, I just spewed out a lot of stuff. I think about a lot of stuff, and I think about everything that those families are going through, everything that the law enforcement professionals are going to go through. And obviously, right now, I'm thinking about, we need to get this guy in custody. I say we, obviously, the sheriff's office here isn't helping, but law enforcement, I know some individuals who work out in Maine, and they're doing everything they can. I could go on and on. I was part of the team that initiated the ALICE training, which was an acronym, but it's the response for mass shootings for civilians. And, I've been a part of that for a very long time. Obviously, we have other members in our agency working with members throughout the whole county, other police departments, and training civilians in how to respond to a mass shooting or a mass killing. And I just think about all the times I've played this scenario over my head. What would we do? How would our community respond? And it's tragic. It doesn't seem like it's going away. And the only thing we can do is try to prepare ourselves to prevent it and respond in a way that we can lessen the amount of casualties and deaths. And I guess not to use this as an opportunity for a plug, but if you work in a place that hasn't had this type of training, contact your local police department or the sheriff's office, and we work together with all the local police departments to make sure that this training's for free. It takes a few hours, but it could save lives. I know the breakdown of the incident that I talked about that we reviewed from California, they could not speak enough about the fact that, unfortunately, a lot of the individuals in this other situation had been in an active shooter. And it was in a different location. So they actually had very few casualties because of their response to it. We can only control what we can control. And right now, we can control being prepared. And, of course, throw out some prayers for those people, because between the first responders and the loved ones that are involved, it takes sometimes years to get through.
Sheriff, you mentioned, quite often we find out that, after the fact, the person was somebody that, exhibited some signs of mental illness or had talked to somebody about it. And usually the case is somebody will step forward and say, yeah, we knew that he was having problems. If you know somebody in your life that may be prone to violence or that is going through a mental health crisis, what should, as a friend or a loved one, what should you do?
Don't hesitate to call the authorities. If you're at a point where you really think an individual's danger to themselves or other, it feels like betrayal to call on a loved one or a friend, but it's not. It's difficult, but it's not a betrayal. You're doing the right thing when you pick that phone up and contact the authorities if they're at that point. If they're not at the point where you think they're going to immediately hurt themselves or others, but you think they might want help, be open to those conversations. And today's society, we are more open to the idea that we need help sometimes mentally. You break a knee, you go to a doctor. You're going through something tough, you go to a psychiatrist or psychologist. Pay attention to what's going on with your loved ones. It's kind of our job. We're responsible for ourselves, but we're responsible for each other too. And, if you have a loved one or a friend or somebody who's gone through a lot and is acting different, doesn't make sense, ask them how they're doing, confront them. Maybe talk to them about securing their guns for them for a while. So often we look back at the senseless shooting, the one we had in Oakland County.
Yeah.
Why do these people have guns and people know about it, right? I believe in the First Amendment and Second Amendment and all the amendments, and I'm not trying to take away anybody's rights, but we know an individual is mentally ill and is just, for lack of a better term, losing it. Direct them to some services, contact community mental health, contact whoever you can to try to help this person. And if they live in your house, think about how you can secure weapons and just to make sure they don't have access to them, if it's possible. It's not always possible.
Right.
I don't know if this individual lived alone in Maine. Every situation is different, but like I said, if it's something we can control, let's try to have an impact on it to make our community safer, make each other safer.
Yeah, well said. And like you said, you know, be aware of your surroundings. I mean, it's sad that we're in a world where you have to do that, but if you're out in a public place, look around and say, okay, if something bad happens, where do I go? It's just...
It is. It's something that used to be normal with police officers, right? Yeah. I've said this 100 times in my trainings. When we go to a restaurant, when I say we, me and my family, nobody sits down until I do. Not because I should have the view of the water, but they know Dad needs to be able to see the door and any anything that could be a threat. Well, we all kind of live in that world now. So, you know, there's a balance with not being paranoid, but being aware.
Sheriff, appreciate your time. Thanks for coming in this morning.
Thank you.
St. Clair County Sheriff Matt King with us on WPHM. Let's take a look at the weather forecast right now.